your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Thursday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, October 22nd, 2020. Your boy Q here with you as always. You know you can find me on Twitter at yourboyq254. And I mentioned it's Thursday, so that means it is crossover Thursday. Didn't have a crossover edition last week because, well, the Raiders didn't have a game last week. So this week they have a game anticipated. Hopefully they have a game this Sunday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it is crossover Thursday. So that will come up on today's show. Before I get into today's show, though, want to tell you about the title sponsor, and that's Pepsi. This football season, man, it's going to be different. And Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch the season. I like to watch the season. I like to watch all the season. I like to watch all the games. I like to watch all the teams, really dive deep into each and every team and learn as much about them as possible. But I also like to kind of watch the game by myself, have the family around me, and then that's just about it. Some people like to throw parties each and every week. Some people like to go to sports bars. Either way, I'm sure you have some refreshments. You have some food. Well, some of the refreshment that you should have is, well, Pepsi, because you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Coming up on today's show, segment number 2 and 3, I mentioned this crossover Thursday, so David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucs, will join the show to talk all things Tampa Bay, and this is the deal. We end up talking on Wednesday evening. We talked for about 40, maybe even 45 minutes. He got his Howard Cosell on with me about 20, 25 minutes, all things Raiders, and then I turned things around, and I ended up talking to him about 20, 25 minutes, all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So what I'm going to do on today's show, instead of giving you 50 minutes of the whole conversation or 45 minutes of the whole conversation, you hear about the Raiders each and every day. I'm just going to give you my questions to him. So in segment number 2 and segment number 3, you'll hear us talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think we talk about the Raiders on the show each and every day, so we all pretty much know the team and know the expectations going into this game, if in fact they get a game going on Sunday evening in prime time. And that's a conversation that we'll talk about in just a little bit. But if they do get a game, I think everyone here that listens to the show on the regular kind of knows my expectation, knows my thoughts. Plus, on tomorrow's show, I'll talk about how to get a victory Sunday night against Tampa Bay. So you're going to hear David Harrison. You'll hear from David Harrison coming up in segment number 2 and segment number 3. Here in segment number 1, I'll give you the news and the notes of the day. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. Where does your boy start? I mean, really, you start at the top, right? Trent Brown, right tackle, very excited about what he was able to do the last time he was out on the grass against Kansas City and actually showed what his value was and looked like they were getting the offensive line all back together. And man, oh man, thinking about all the expectations and how the offense could really click once that offensive line is all together, like I mentioned. Well, that all kind of went down in a blaze of glory on Wednesday. Matter of fact, I think it was about 12:30 Central Time is when I first saw the news. I was on the radio on ESPN Central Texas, and all of a sudden a tweet came through, and I thought, from Tom Pelissero, matter of fact, of NFL Network, he was the first person that I saw it from, and it said that the tweet said, Trent Brown, Raiders right tackle Trent Brown is going on the COVID-19 list. Yeah, that's all I had to see. That's all I had to see. I was like, oh no. That's the last thing. And I even tweeted out, and I'm usually not very graphic on Twitter, but I was like, man, that's a kick in the nuts. That's exactly how I worded it. What a kick in the nuts. As soon as you get Trent Brown back, you see what he's able to do. You see how much better that offense goes when he's out there, how much better that offensive line is. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's on the COVID-19 list. So, you know, there was a lot of conversation going on Wednesday about that. There was a lot of conversation on Raider Nation Radio 920 Silver and Black Today with myself and Scott Goldbranson. We talked about it for just about the whole 2 hours. Some folks are really pissed off at Trent Brown because he's never available or he hasn't been available that much, only one game so far this season. And normally I would say the same thing because I always say that your best ability is availability. But this COVID-19 thing, man, I can't even get mad at Trent Brown about that because this thing don't discriminate. It don't look for his victims. It just find its victim. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what you look like. It don't matter, you know, how hard you want to work, how much you want to be out there on the field. It just don't matter. So I'm not even going to hold that one against Trent Brown. I know a lot of people were pretty pissed off and up in arms about it, but either way, it's just a blow, man. It's like I said, it's just a punch in the nuts. I mean, it really is. And then on top of that, the Raiders had to send all five of their starting offensive linemen home on Wednesday because of contact tracing. So it just got kind of messier and messier and messier. And it's right now, it's still up in the air. Vinny Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Review Journal, and also he does a show on Raider Nation Radio 920 called Inside the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy, and he follows myself and Scott Goldbranson, and he tried to kind of word it the best possible and tried to tweet it out, and he also did a couple stories, a couple pieces on it. But I'll just go ahead and read you the thread from Vinny, and it kind of explains what's going on real quick with Trent Brown and also the guys that are going through the contact tracing. Vinny said, here is where it gets tricky for the Raiders. Their starting offensive line is currently going through contact tracing based on their last contact with Trent Brown on Monday. Anyone deemed high risk will spend 5 days backtrack to Tuesday in protocol. The earliest high risk, in air quotes, contacts will be eligible to return Saturday, provided they clear all the hurdles. They could play on Sunday if so, but without the benefit of practice. Those who aren't deemed high risk are eligible to return to work tomorrow, which would be today, provided they continue to test negative and show no symptoms. So that's kind of where we are right now as of the time that this is being recorded. I don't know what time you're going to be listening to this. Things might have changed quick, fast, and in a hurry. The guys might have been deemed high risk, or they might have been deemed not high risk, and that's all up to the NFL. The NFL, they'll make the decision on that, but apparently the Raiders will find out something early this morning at some time. So any second now, there could be a tweet and there could be an update. But as far as I know, we just are in a wait and see type mode. And so we've seen games so far in the NFL get pushed and postponed, and doubleheaders on Monday and games on Tuesday because guys haven't had the ability to open up their facilities and get to practice and all that. And look, the Raiders still practice on Wednesday, but who knows how this thing is going to change. We might find out something today where it takes a turn for the worse, or it might take a turn for the better. So as of right now, the Raiders are going to play on Sunday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that could change today. That could change tomorrow. That could change on Saturday. We really don't know, and that's kind of what happens when you're living in the COVID-19 world. So that's really the latest and the greatest when it comes to COVID-19 and comes to Trent Brown and the offensive line and also Jonathan Abram. A couple of more little pieces of news. Just wanted to update you on the injury report that came out on Wednesday as well. Cornerback Keyshawn Nixon, he had a groin injury, and Brian Edwards with his foot ankle were the only injury-related absences for the Raiders on Wednesday. The rest were all COVID-19 related. Colton Miller, Gabe Jackson, Rodney Hudson, Denzel Good, Jonathan Abram, they all didn't participate due to the contact tracing protocol. And then the Raiders restored wide receiver Marcel Aitman to the practice squad from the practice squad injured reserve list, and they released wide receiver DeMornay Pearson L from the practice squad. So just very minor little nuggets right there. Also wanted to bring you a little bit of the media sessions from the Raiders on Wednesday. John Gruden met with the media. Derek Carr met with the media. I can't remember who else met with the media, but either way, you can go to Raiders.com and check out all the media sessions if you want to in its entirety. I'm not going to play the whole thing here, but just going to take a couple little sound bites from John Gruden, stuff that I thought was kind of important from his presser. Again, you can go to Raiders.com. You can go to their Periscope page. You can go to their YouTube page if you want to see it in its entirety. But from John Gruden, one of the first questions, and it wasn't the first one, which I thought was kind of amazing. The first question in the media session wasn't about Trent Brown. I thought it should have been, and I really think there should have been more questions about Trent Brown on this, but I was still on the radio when it was going on. I was on ESPN Central Texas, so I didn't get a chance to actually get on it. I did follow up and listen to it later, and this is why I'm bringing it to you right now. But I thought there should have been more questions asked about Trent Brown in this situation, but either way, it is what it is. So here's the first question that was asked about Trent Brown, just kind of giving an update on what's going on with him and where we are as far as COVID-19 goes.
Well, we're listening to the league, and they're advising us on what to do. Trent Brown is not here today. His status is unknown. We had to send five of our starting linemen home today because they had a tracer. I guess they were around Trent. I can't get into things any more than that, but hopefully we'll get some players back tomorrow or for Sunday.
So there's Gruden just basically saying that Trent Brown was sent home, and also the five players were sent home. And, that was basically when everyone found out that it was a whole lot of guys and not just one guy. Of course, Trent Brown's the only one who tested positive for COVID-19. So he's, I think, 99% or 99.9% actually out on Sunday because he did test positive. So he has to go through all the protocols. But then another question about this, and it wasn't even the next question. It should have been the follow-up question. But John Gruden was asked about the disappointment of Trent Brown not being out there again after he played 3 snaps in the first game against Carolina, missed a bunch of games, and then all of a sudden came back against Kansas City and played the whole game. Now he's out again. So how disappointed is John Gruden?
I mean, it's obvious. I mean, we don't have Trent today. We don't have any of our linemen today. So how happy am I? I'm not happy. I'm concerned. I'm really more concerned about Trent, his health, than anything. You know, this is COVID, and I am concerned about anybody that has it or is near it.
I think some people don't ask John Gruden questions or follow-up questions or questions that they think he's going to get annoyed by, because you can clearly see he gets annoyed pretty quick. And obviously he was more concerned about Trent's health or anyone's health who's dealing with COVID-19. And that's, you know, and that's natural. That's how it should be. But yeah, you could just kind of tell he was a little bit irritated. So really wasn't a whole lot asked about Trent Brown. He was asked about Marcus Mariota. He's been activated off of IR. And so he was asked, will Marcus Mariota be the backup or even available on Sunday? Or is it too soon to have that answer yet?
I think it's up in the air just because we haven't seen him do much really in the last 10 weeks. It's been two and a half months. So we'll see where he is. We're working him out as we speak. That's why I keep looking here to the left. It's good to see him out on the grass, and hopefully he is ready to go, but I can't make that prediction now.
So there's Gruden right there on Marcus Mariota. And look, I'm one of those that hopes that he's active. I hope he's on the roster as far as, you know, being out there and dressed out, ready to rock and roll if they do play on Sunday, because I think he could be an asset. I'm not saying he's going to be a guy that's going to take over multiple snaps and do like Taysom Hill does in New Orleans, but I think every once in a while he could be on the field and help out. I just think he could be an extra weapon just because he's an athletic player out there. So I'm not saying he's going to get a whole lot of burn, or he should get a lot of burn, but just having him out there a little bit is at least another threat, because again, you know, he's a heck of an athlete and he can make some things happen at the very least with his legs. But again, that's just me. Final little clip here before we get into crossover to the part one of the crossover edition with David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucks, has to do with Tampa Bay and the fact that John Gruden was put into the Ring of Honor. I remember when it happened, it was a Monday Night Football game, and I was watching the game, and John Gruden got pretty emotional. I'm not going to lie, because I'm a big John Gruden guy. Like, I really, really appreciate and respect John Gruden. So I kind of got a little emotional too, because I was happy for him. But what was John Gruden's thoughts, and how big of a deal was it that Tampa Bay put him into the Ring of Honor? What did that mean to him?
Well, that is that makes me deep and tearful, really emotional. That was a great night in my life to share it with some of my former team and coaches. Was special, and that's what coaching's all about. You know, you want to try to help players improve on and off the field. Now, ultimately, you want to try to help them win. But that had a lot to do with it. That certainly was a springboard for me in terms of how much I missed it.
So there you hear John Gruden talking about how emotional it was. It was tearful for him that night. He knew how much he missed it. And I'll tell you right now, I think that all Raider Nation, if you're a John Gruden fan, if you appreciate the fact that John Gruden's the head coach of the Raiders, should thank Tampa Bay for putting him in the Ring of Honor, because I think that that really got his juices going to get back onto the sideline and be the head coach. And a lot of anticipation was he was going to go back to Tampa Bay. And I'll tell you, that night when he got put in the Ring of Honor on that Monday Night Football and was up there on that podium with that red jacket on, and he was talking to, you know, all the fans and everything, I told the wife that night, I was like, man, he's coming back to coaching. Now, I hope he comes back and coaches the Raiders, but he's coming back to coaching. You could just see that burn was in his eye again, that he was ready to get back on the sidelines. So hopefully, well, you know, one day the Raider Nation will be able to you know, give him a big major honor, because he's brought a Super Bowl or two home to Las Vegas, you know. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, I remember that night like it was yesterday, and clearly that was a big deal to John Gruden. It really got him going, and is a major reason why he's back on the sidelines, as far as I'm concerned, with the silver and black. So that's what I have for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, going to have part one of my conversation with David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucks. It's Crossover Thursday. That's how we get down here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Before I get into that, I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors here, and that is rockauto.com. I've been telling you about them for a while, and I know a lot of Raider Nation uses them because they're a family business, just like the Raiders. They're a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. What you have to do is go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they have everything that you'll need. Engine control parts, brake parts, parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet. You need it? They got it. It doesn't matter if it's a classic or a car you drive every single day. All you need is a computer, and they're a few easy clicks away, and the goods will be delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle. You can choose the brands, specifications, and most importantly, the prices you prefer. That's right. The prices at RockAuto.com are always super low and the same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. So why to spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the little box that says, how'd you hear about us? As long as you put Locked On Raiders Podcast, they'll know that I sent you and I'm doing my job. So hook me up as I hook you up. Great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, all available at RockAuto.com. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Crossover Thursday. And if you're a new booty, you might say, what's Crossover Thursday? Crossover Thursday is when the Raiders or any team on the NFL schedules look up and down the schedule, and whoever their next opponent is, that's who I either get to talk to or someone else gets to talk to me. So for the Raiders this week, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I get to talk to David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucs. And so he's going to help me break down all things Tampa Bay and Raiders as they prepare for this game. Hopefully it's going to get played Sunday night in prime time. So here is part one of that conversation with David Harrison. David, thank you so much for your time, man. It's going to be a fun one as long as this game gets played on Sunday night. And there's some, obviously some questions about that, but either way you look at it, man, I'm fired up, excited about this game. Tampa Bay is making their way to Las Vegas. John Gruden, there's so many different storylines, but I just want to concentrate on Tampa Bay and talk about them in general, because like the Raiders, they're coming off a big win as well. They took down Green Bay, a team that was flying high, and basically just had their way with them after getting off to they were losing 10-0, came back and just really gave Green Bay the business. How big of a win was that in general? Just kind of put that in perspective for us. How big of a win that was for Tampa Bay as far as team confidence and knowing that, hey, we're headed in the right direction. We got an opportunity in this thing.
Oh, it was immeasurable. Like I really don't think you can put into words just how important that win is. And if this team does go to the playoffs, I know we've got so many weeks before now in January, even February football, but this is one of those games. And Bucs fans have been kind of calling for that and crying out for that, is where is this Tom Brady moment, quote unquote, and this great Tampa Bay Buccaneers moment that we're supposed to see with all the offseason hype and everything. And I think that win against Green Bay Packers, as impressive as the comeback against the Los Angeles Chargers was for that team, that Chargers team is a team that a lot of people did not expect the Buccaneers to even be in a hole against in the first place to have the comeback. But going against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, you can see anybody being in a hole against that team. So to see them go in that early hole and then come out of it, and not only come out of it, but completely shut down that team from 10-0. They never scored again. 38-0 from that point on. The Buccaneers controlled every single phase of that game, from the trenches to the second level, the quarterbacks, the secondary. There was nothing the Packers could do. Aaron Rodgers even admitted as much. And when you make one of the great quarterbacks of our time and Aaron Rodgers go into a press conference and say, I didn't know what I was doing, there was nothing we could do, we were just completely taken back, you've done your job as an NFL team. The key is, because we've heard Bruce Arians say this before, and usually it's in practice, which is okay, I guess, to a certain extent, but we've heard him say, you know, this team can't feel themselves, and they've got to come into this game against the Raiders not feeling themselves, because there are some fans in Bucs Nation that are definitely feeling themselves right now. That's okay when you're a fan. You can sit on the couch with your nachos and your jersey and feel the heck out of yourself all you want, but the players can't do it. The players go on the field saying, we're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look, we just did the Packers. The Raiders are going to say, well, congratulations, that happened last week, welcome to this week, and they're going to wake them up quick.
No doubt about that. And, you know, I gotta tell you this, man, and you know, you can get a good laugh out of it, I know, but you know there's no such thing as Bucs Nation, right?
So Bucs Nation is, so SBNation.com, BucsNation.com is the site that I write for, so that's why I say Bucs Nation.
So they know there's nothing.
I'm sure Raiders
no
Nation
thing, right?
Absolutely does not want to hear that, so I apologize. It is not meant to be any type of sacrilege for Raiders Nation. You guys are the original. I'll bow to that. That's why we call it Bucs Nation.
I know. I just had to say it, because if I didn't, somebody would tell me.
Yeah. No, I got you.
But David, the running game, man, it's been solid now, really, for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Ronald Jones, man, he's been going over 100 yards per game. Is this something that you should expect to see? Is that something that Raider fans should expect to see moving forward from this guy? And really, he's kind of looking like the guy that they drafted him to be.
I mean, I absolutely hope so, and that's what I expect. We will see what happens. That's going to be the problem with this team. So Leonard Fournette was brought in for a very specific reason, right? And when Leonard Fournette was brought in, a lot of people said, you know, well, all this offseason talk and into, you know, training camp has been that Ronald Jones is RB1. He's the starter. He's the guy that we're going to give the ball to. But then you see Leonard Fournette come in, and even in week two, I mean, Fournette came in at the end of training camp. So week one, Rojo outsnaps everybody, gets more carries than everybody. But then week two, Leonard Fournette outsnaps him, gets more carries than him, of course, has that big run at the end of the game to close out their first win of the season. And so the questions automatically start rising is, okay, is Leonard Fournette really going to be RB1 at some point in time? And then he gets injured. And you never want to applaud an injury or celebrate an injury, right? But really, it's kind of been a blessing in disguise. And that's something I actually wrote about over at BucksNation.com is how that's been a blessing in disguise, because ever since then, so not only did Leonard Fournette get injured, but Shady McCoy ended up getting injured the next week after that. And then Keyshawn Vaughn, their third round draft pick, came in, had some decent plays. They also had some rookie plays, had a fumble early on in some of his opportunities. So really the Buccaneers, Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians, were put in a position where they had to use Rojo as a feature back. And that's something that I wanted to differentiate between, because we all know there's a starting back. You can have an RB1, a primary back, whatever you want to call it. But being a feature back is something completely different. You're talking Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott type of roles. And really the Buccaneers were forced to use Ronald Jones as a feature back. And ever since they've done that, he's rattled off three straight 100-yard games on the ground and really helped carry this offense to those wins.
Yeah, it's exciting to see, because I was fired up for Ronald Jones. And, you know, actually, I was pounding the table for the Raiders to go out and make a move for Leonard Fournette, and Tampa Bay got him. Mm-hmm. That could really be win healthy and everything is clicking on the same page. I mean, that could be a real good 1-2 punch, don't you think?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And that's really how I – because – it's silly to say, especially in today's game with the way the running backs are and how physical the game has become.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, just give Rojo the ball every time. Give him all the snaps. Never take him off the field. That's not realistic.
Right.
You need a number two. I want Leonard Fournette to be that two. You still have your feature back in Ronald Jones, but then Leonard Fournette's your guy. Give him 5-6 carries. Maybe give him 3 or 4 targets out of the backfield. Maybe give him a little bit of goal line work when Rojo took you all the way down the field. Fine. But what you want, what I want to see is, I want to see 75 to 80% of the work go to Rojo, 20-25% of that work go to Fournette. Because like you said, especially late in the game, if you've got Fournette who's coming into the fourth quarter with 3 or 4 carries, maybe 2 targets, that's a guy that can come in there and really pound the defense and melt that clock away and get you a win at the end of the game.
Exactly. Talking right now with David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucks, as the Raiders and Bucks prepare to play Sunday Night Football. Primetime action should be an exciting game. And sticking with the offensive side of things, how close to being in game shape and having a total understanding of Bruce Arians' offense do you feel that Rob Gronkowski is? And do you see that offense kind of clicking more clicking a little bit more and more each and every week?
Yeah, I think every week Rob gets a little bit more back into football shape. He is dealing with a shoulder injury. Actually, that's, everybody kind of laughed about it in that Packers game, because 38-10, you can laugh about it, but he Gronk spiked for the first time this season as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, but he had to use his left arm instead of his right because his right shoulder is bothering him. He's on the injury list this week with that right shoulder. Didn't participate on Wednesday. He played with it last week, so I don't see how he's not going to play with it this week, to be honest with you. But they're just going to rest it. They're going to do what they can, but you can see some of that chemistry coming back. You know that Tom and Rob know each other. It's just a matter of getting to know each other in this new offense. Rob shaking off the rust from the year that he took off of the NFL, and then finding his way to blend in with these other weapons. I think it's starting to happen. I don't think you'll ever see vintage Rob Gronkowski again. I don't think that's what he's here for, and I don't think that's what the Buccaneers are asking him to do. But on occasions, in a situation like against the Green Bay Packers, where maybe they're spread out a little bit too much trying to cover guys like Godwin and Mike Evans, or keeping an eye on Rojo out of the backfield, he can find those seams. He can find those spaces in your zone coverage if you're running that. And he can do a little bit of damage there and really just kind of be a threat. The name is there, but there's got to be a little bit of production to keep the threat real.
What are your thoughts on Brady, where he's at right now through 6 games? Of course, Tampa Bay sitting at 4-2. Everyone remembers the image of Tom with the 4 fingers up talking about his fourth down, and fourth down had already gone. So that's going to be one of those, you know, internet gifts or internet gifs, however you say it, whatever. What are your thoughts on just what he's been able to do so far as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback?
I mean, he satisfied every expectation that I've had. Okay. I think that anybody who is kind of disappointed in what they've gotten out of Tom Brady this year just had unrealistic expectations. And Patriots fans, Mike DeBate, who covers the Patriots for our network, other guys, Mark Schofield, will tell you that there have been plenty of seasons where the Patriots came out into the season and everybody's saying, oh, this is it. Tom Brady's on his downhill slide. And, oh, this is it. Tom Brady's tapped out. And this is probably the last year you see Tom Brady at the top of the league. And then what ends up happening, he's playing football in January, February, because he's Tom stinking Brady. I think you see the same Tom Brady in this. You see a Tom Brady that hasn't had preseason. And I know we're heading in towards the middle of the season. Everybody would stop talking about it, but those are very real impactful parts. When you have a brand new quarterback and a brand new offense that quarterback is learning, those are real parts of this whole process. And then Mike Evans still has yet to be 100% healthy a single week this season. I don't think he will, at least until they hit the bye. Maybe if he's lucky enough to come into the bye fairly healthy, he can get somewhat completely healthy after the bye week. Chris Godwin, I mean, really just played his second full game of the season just last week. And I mean, he's still nursing that hamstring a little bit, trying not to re-injure himself. Their third receiver, Scotty Miller, has been injured, so on and so forth. I mean, the best ability is availability. And the only Buccaneer other than Tom Brady that's had maximum ability from a skill position standpoint is Ronald Jones. So that shows you what Brady's been dealing with. Yet this team is still 4-2, still one of the best statistically. And on the field, they're showing how dangerous they can be to this league. So I'm completely happy with what we've seen from Tom. I think the team is completely happy with what they've seen from Tom. And if they can come out in a primetime matchup against a good team in Las Vegas against the Raiders, everybody's going to be even more happy with Tom coming into the next week.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, they're playing in a tough division. So getting wins in that division and leading the division like they are right now, that tells you a lot in itself. How about the defensive side of the ball? A guy that I was really high on when he was in the draft, that was Devin White, the linebacker out of LSU. I thought that the Raiders had an opportunity to take him. Instead, they pass on him, and Tampa Bay gets him one pick later. And I know he started off slowly, and he was a little bit banged up, but he looks like he's really coming on strong right now for the Bucs in this Todd Bowles defense.
Absolutely, man. I mean, he started his rookie season sick, and then he got injured in week two against Carolina Panthers. That's always going to, you know, that's going to clog somebody's career to start off with. But then as you saw him get back on the field, get healthy again, then get into his rookie season towards the end of the year there, the back half of 2019, you really saw the playmaker that the Buccaneers drafted out of him. And then coming into the season, he was just so ready to go to get in there, got that captain's patch on his chest. You know what I mean? As a young guy, yeah, getting that respect from his teammates. Guys like Jason Pierre-Paul are in that locker room, and he's wearing the captain's patch. That's something that means a lot to him. It kind of just shows what he is from not only a play standpoint on the field, but as a leader in the locker room and in the meeting rooms, and he's lived up to it completely. I mean, you haven't really seen quite yet. I mean, a lot of people were kind of hoping for, you know, like a Derrick Brooks-esque, you know,
right,
2002 season where you've got multiple fumbles or interceptions returned for touchdowns. You haven't seen any of those yet, but he's flying to the ball. He and Levante David lead the team in tackles, as you would pretty much expect. And I mean, they're coming from the left, they're coming from the right, they're coming up the middle, they're in pass coverage. There is nothing these off-ball linebackers aren't doing. And Devin White is just as much in the mix of it as Levante David is.
So that was part one of my conversation right there with Locked On Bucs host David Harrison, talking all things Tampa Bay. And in segment number three, in part two of the conversation, we're going to continue to talk all things Tampa Bay. Literally, we talked for about 45 minutes, so I'm not going to put the whole thing on here. And we talk Raiders here every single day, so I think you have a pretty good idea of already the silver and black and what they're going to bring to the table and how they're going to execute and all that good stuff. So I'm just going to let you hear what David Harrison has to say about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you'll hear part two of that conversation coming up next. Before I get into that, though, I want to also tell you about the title sponsor of today's show, which is Pepsi. This football season is different. Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. We know there's so many different ways you could watch the game. Some people watch on their phones. I never really get down like that. Sometimes I have to stream the games, or I used to have to stream the games, and that's one thing to do it on the computer, but watching it on the phone is another thing. But it don't matter. Some people do it that way while they're on the go. Either way you do it, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Segment number three, it is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part two of my conversation, talking all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers with host of Locked On Bucs, David Harrison. And talked a lot about the defense, talked some about the offense clicking and how they're getting a little bit better. Talked about already the win over Green Bay and how big that was. Now I want to kind of concentrate some more on the defensive side of the ball. And in particular, I wanted to ask, and I started things off asking about Todd Bowles, what he's really been doing to get things cooking. So here is part two of that conversation with Locked On Bucs host David Harrison. Todd Bowles is just so stinking good when it comes to defense and putting his defense in the right position. What kind of buttons has he been pushing? What has he been pushing? How has he been setting up this Bucs defense to be playing as well as it is right now?
You know, coming into the season, it was a lot of let's build off what we did last year. So they have all 11 of their defensive starters from last year returned to the beginning of this year. They've lost Vita Vea and one of those starters, Mike Edwards slash Andrew Adams. They kind of split time there at one of the safety positions. They're both backup players. Now, they're both role players now, but they're still back on the defense. And then Antoine Winfield Jr., the stud rookie, has been starting for that defense and fit right in. I mean, what he brings to the field is exactly what Todd Bowles needed in his system. And really, he's just going out there telling the rookie, do what you do. Do what you do naturally and how your instincts tell you to play the game. And that's exactly what I want from you. It couldn't be a better fit. I don't think there's a defense that Antoine Winfield Jr. would have fit in better with in the National Football League. Kind of reminds me of Deshaun Watson. I don't know how you were, Q, but like when Deshaun Watson was coming out of Clemson, I'm looking at him, I'm looking across the board, I'm saying, man, if he goes to Houston, that would be a really good fit.
Yeah.
That's where he ends up and you see his career take off. Granted, it's, you know, some other things have happened in Houston. You know about that better than I do. But, you know, that so it kind of reminds me a little bit of that. I mean, this dude just slid in and there was no transition. Like, he just came in and he was ready for the job. So, I mean, it's really been that. And then you kind of saw for 2 weeks. And going back to that loss against the Chicago Bears, a lot of people noticed it. We're talking about it, how they were playing a little soft. And it's almost like they got a little shell-shocked when the Chargers got some of those chunk plays against them. So they kind of overcorrected and they said, okay, let's maybe not be as aggressive. Let's maybe peel back a little bit, protect ourselves, and try to keep the plays in front of us and see what we can make happen. And that really wasn't working out either. This is a defense that's built to fire, that's built to go and be aggressive. Devin White said it before the Packers game, unleash me. And really, that's what Todd Bowles did. He said, listen, we're aggressive by nature. Our scheme is aggressive. Our system's aggressive. We're going to live by the sword. We're going to die by the sword. We're just going to come out there. We're going to make them – we're going to force the issue against whoever we're playing. So that's what Derek Carr's got to be ready for. I know he's doing really well in snaps or in passes that, you know, come out on less than two and a half seconds and all that stuff. He's actually got a better QBR and completion rate and all that stuff than he does when he got more time, which is I thought was interesting. But this Buccaneers defense is definitely going to hold him accountable for that. If he's really that good, getting the ball out in less than 3 seconds, he's going to have the chance to prove it against Todd Bowles.
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to do that. That's something that he's very capable of doing. One guy I wanted to ask you about that's on that defensive line, Jason Pierre-Paul. I've been on the record of saying that when this guy retires, when he decides to hang it up, man, he's going to have some stories to tell his kids, his grandkids. I mean, he's got a book of stories that he could tell. Matter of fact, maybe multiple books that he could tell just based off his playing career and all the ups and downs that he's had. But what is Jason Pierre-Paul meant to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their defense?
I mean, coming from, you know, it's a performance-based business, right? And everybody talks about that, and it's a physical business. That's why we use words like the trenches and shot, like we use military terms and combat terms and all that, because it's the physicality of the game. And I don't know how much it resonates with all the players in the locker room, man, but when you got a guy who not only has been to the top of this profession, he's won the Super Bowl, he's got the ring, he's been to the dance, but also, I mean, the dude lost half or more of his hand.
Right.
He broke his neck, yet he's still one of the best in the National Football League. He's still out there every day at practice, giving 100%. I mean, when you have a veteran out there like that, going out there and putting in that effort and that Florida sun and the humidity and the heat, not complaining about, then going out there on game day and performing and having fun with it and celebrating with his young guys. I mean, he may not be wearing a captain's patch on his jersey, but make no mistake about it, Jason Pierre-Paul is a captain on that team in that locker room. Those young guys look at his energy. They look at his fire. They look at everything he's been through. Like, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, people go through certain things in life, of course. But I mean, if you're sitting on the sideline with a twisted ankle that you can walk on and you can run on, you look over at JPP and everything that he's been doing in his career, and he's still out there running with his motor at full speed. I mean, that motivates you to get out on the field. And you see that energy just kind of, it bounces back and forth, man. Like, JPP sends it down the line. They send it back to him. And Dominican Sue is out there yelling at quarterbacks. I mean, it really just from top to bottom, that entire defense just feeds energy off of each other and they pass it around.
If there is an area of concern, I just got a couple more questions for you. If there's an area of concern for Tampa Bay's defense, I know they do a lot of things good. I know they really do. But if there was something that you would say, you know what, that could be the Achilles heel, that could be an area that the Raiders try to exploit, what would you say it would be?
I mean, it's a young secondary. You know what I mean? Okay. You want to try to get Derek Carr to move a young safety, you know, to the wrong part of the field. Or try to, you know, hit a double move, especially a guy like Henry Ruggs. I mean, this defense is so aggressive, and there are things you can see. You look at that Jamel Dean pick six against Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he was not even – I think Troy Aikman actually pointed it out. As Devontae Adams is trying to threaten upfield, Jamel Dean is not even trying to turn. Like, there is no turning those hips. That dude is staying flat-footed. He's staying on his heels. He's staying squared up to the line of scrimmage. So if Devontae Adams in that situation, if they have the right play call and he takes off, Jamel Dean is fast. But he's not that fast. And if that happens, he's going to be in a really bad spot. But it just so happens, because they're so good at studying film and Todd Bowles has done such a good job of teaching these guys, he saw that out route coming from a mile away. And, you know, A-Rod maybe protecting his ego a little bit, says, oh, it was off target. It was a little inside. It was a little higher than it should have been. No, man, Jamel Dean got the jump on you, and he absolutely just destroyed you on that route. So it is what it is. But that shows you the aggressiveness. So if you're the Raiders and you're seeing something like that, you're like, man, so what are some of our tendencies that maybe we can give that look, but then give them something different at the break point? And maybe take advantage of some of that youthful aggression in that secondary.
Final question for you. This just has to do with the coaching staff. Bruce Arians, he's one of my favorite coaches in the league. I've loved to talk to him. Every opportunity I've ever gotten to talk to him, when he was a Cardinals head coach, I got to talk to him. I mean, he's just a real deal guy. He shoots you straight. You know, he tells you how it is. It's awesome. But between him and Byron Leftwich, who I know he's given a lot of the reins to as well, he kind of sets him up for success, and I'm sure Byron's going to be a head coach in the league at some point. Just what kind of dynamic do those two bring to this Tampa Bay Buccaneer team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a very, it's a student and the teacher relationship. You know, if there's been a gripe I have of that situation, it really, they haven't talked about it that much this season. So I'm kind of taking it off of last season. So that may not be completely fair, but last season, Byron was calling the plays and stuff. And Bruce would be honest and say, yeah, sometimes I get into his ear and I say, no, take a shot or no, we're going to run here. And he kind of interjects and says, no, we're going to do this in this situation. And, you know, he's trying to teach Byron kind of, you know, the chess moves, like you mentioned before. Right. Of the game and all that, but at the same time, you kind of want to look at it. And, you know, I use the analogy of borrowing a car. When you lend your car to somebody, you don't want them to drive it like they're borrowing it. You want them to drive it like they own it, because people don't wreck their own cars, right? So if Byron is sitting here and, you know, maybe he's calling a draw on a 3rd and 8, and Bruce is going, what are you doing? It's 3rd and 8. We're on the 42. Take the shot. Let's see if we can make it happen. Got it. But maybe Byron's got something cooking. Maybe he's got something he's trying to work against that defense, set it up for later. I don't know. But you don't have time in a 25 second or however many seconds you've got left on the play clock to really get into that conversation. So I just wonder if sometimes that mentoring in the moment maybe hinders a little bit of what's going on in the game. I don't know if that's still going on. Either way, I mean, there's no tension there. There's no, you know, there's not a situation of, you know, let me drive the car. No, let me drive the car. They work really well together. And I think that everybody understands, all the players. Leonard Fournette talked about it. Actually, he went out on social media and tweeted that younger Leonard Fournette being active and not being used would have been just up a wall, just irate with that situation. Right. And I think we can all look back at Jacksonville and know that, yeah, Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville would not have been standing on the sideline watching his teammates win a 38-10 game against Packers and not making noise. But this Leonard Fournette is, because he understands that this coaching staff is doing what they're doing for the sake of the players, for the benefit of the players, and because they want the players to be successful, not because I'm the coach, I know better, just do what I say. And I think that makes a huge difference on this team, and it's just one more reason why they're all having so much fun.
Well, it should be a good one, man. I'm excited about it. Sunday night, hopefully it happens. Obviously, there's a lot of COVID-19 implications that would stop it from happening. It might get postponed, maybe pushed back till Monday or Tuesday. I hope it doesn't. I would love for, you know, prime time action, but I want all the players to be out there. You know, my thing is, if the Raiders are going to go out there and compete against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I want both teams to be at full strength. I don't want to have a bunch of third string, fourth string, seconds, you know, I have full strength and then go and just see what happens. Let the chips fall where they may. But anyway, either way you look at it, I'm fired up about some Sunday night football action between Tampa Bay and the Raiders. David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucks. He's been the guest. Let everybody know where you can find him and how you guys do Locked On Bucks on the daily.
Yeah. So daily over at Locked On Bucks podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bucks on your favorite podcast platform. If you want to know all about Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then I do write, of course, for SB Nation over at BucksNation.com on Twitter at DHarrison82. I'm a football fan before anything else. So I love the Raiders fan base. Your fan base is one of the best in the National Football League for a reason. Traveled well to Las Vegas too. So I'm really happy to know that a lot of people from the coast, from California, are still supporting Raiders and representing the Raiders Nation. So yeah, I mean, looking forward to this matchup. And yeah, any Raiders fans that want to come at me about the name of the website, look, I just work there, guys. I don't make the rules, all right?
I know that's right. David, great stuff, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, Q.
So there it is, Raider Nation. That is it. That is the crossover edition. That is David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucks, talking all things, well, the matchup to this game coming up on Sunday night. Hopefully, I've said it multiple times in this show, hopefully it does get played as planned. Probably by now, by the time you finish listening to this episode, you may have an idea about the COVID-19, the contact tracing with the offensive line, all the offensive linemen, and Jonathan Abram. Maybe they're not high risk. Maybe they are high risk. Who knows? But that's something to definitely pay attention to. But if the game is scheduled as planned, that was kind of the layout, which you just heard right there from David Harrison, host of Locked On Bucks. And funny, real quick, I'll tell you, he was talking about, and he actually complimented me on last Thursday's show that I did when it was when I was talking about don't ever let someone just call you just A or what I forget how I titled it, but you know what I'm talking about, the just A episode that I did last week. When my boss really disrespected me, and a lot of people have been complimenting me on that show, and David Harrison was one of them. He's like, "Hey, man, just before you go, I wanted to let you know that I could really appreciate that, and I took that in and loved that episode. So thank you." So I thought that was pretty cool that he thanked me for that episode too. So good thing that's going really, really well. So that's it for today. Coming up on tomorrow's show, I'm sure we'll have more news and notes, big time news and notes. What's going on with the O-line? What's going on with Jonathan Abram? Is the game going to be played? How do we feel about the game? Is it going to be played? I'll definitely talk about how to win the game if it happens on Sunday night. You know, just kind of break it down like I do each and every Friday night when the Raiders are Friday when the Raiders have a game. So hopefully that happens. We'll see, but we won't know till probably a little bit later on today. So until then, Raider Nation, stay safe, wear your mask, take care of your loved ones, and as always, most importantly, just win, baby.